Hey, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Monday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. The Lakers head into game four with a 2-1 advantage. How much credit does Darvin Ham deserve? That's next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday. No matter how or where you get your podcast, it's always going to be free. It's never going to be behind a paywall. And Locked On Lakers on YouTube, Andy, is where people can go and hang out and talk Lakers, talk NBA with over 16,000 subscribers to that channel. The comments section is hopping with the Lakers putting on a good show in the playoffs. It is also a respectful place, I think. It's a good comments section filled with normal, non-jerk people. So it's a great place to talk basketball. We love pulling comments from there, getting inspiration for segment ideas, all that from the YouTube channel. So please keep interacting with everyone there. We appreciate it. It makes the show better. Do want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. So, Andy, much to cover as we get ready for game four tonight. Lakers at home trying to take a 3-1 series lead. Golden State, surely as they did in game two, will come out with some tricks up their sleeve and a sense of desperation. So we'll get to that. But first, let's talk about game three and some of the things that might play forward for the Lakers, because Darvin Ham, Andy, the much maligned Darvin Ham, if you go with that aforementioned Locked On Lakers YouTube comments page, they did some stuff in game three. They changed some things up, and it was very effective up and down the line. Lots of different little adjustments, little and big. Where would you like to start?
First of all, I'd just like to start with acknowledging the comments section and all of Darvin's nicknames. Darvin Ham becomes Darvin Sham, Darvin Spam, Darvin Scram.
Darvin Scram when you want to fire him. That's right.
Mm-hmm. They're all there. And we see an awful lot of them. And they're a wonderful combination of both lame and hilarious.
Yeah, like, it's a shame for Darvin, too. I feel bad for him because at least off the top of my head, there are no good rhymey words for great job, Darvin.
Actually, there is.
Darvin
wham. Darvin wham. Darvin,
I mean,
bam.
That's okay.
Darvin bam. No, that's good. Nobody ever gives a bam for something bad that happened.
I mean, other Darvin than that, bam that, is that good. TV chef guy used to, but you're right. For basketball purposes, that's about as good as you can do, and it requires you to say it out loud.
Well, this was actually a Darvin bam in game three, because Darvin and the staff made some, I think, really smart adjustments into this game that were, I think, really instrumental in them winning. We'll start with defensively. They decided to put Jared Vanderbilt on Draymond Green instead of Steph Curry, and having Austin Reeves start the game on Curry, he had been in more of a chaser role. And what that allowed the
Anthony Davis then was, and I put up the air quotes for people who cannot see the show, guarding Jermichael Green.
Right. It allowed a few things to happen. It allowed Anthony Davis to play more of a roaming role defensively. It allowed him greater ability to hedge up high and then recover without having to worry about necessarily a specific assignment. It allowed the Lakers to switch pick and rolls involving Steph and Draymond better. It allowed them to just blow up a little bit more of what Draymond was doing offensively when you had Jared Vanderbilt on him. I think it also, relatively speaking, because Steph is an exhausting defensive assignment, and as I think we are going to talk about during this show, Austin Reeves is showing a lot of signs of being tired. I do think he is somewhat of a less taxing assignment, guarding him straight up, than marking Clay, because Steph runs around a lot, but at least there's sometimes where he's running the offense, he's a little bit more stationary. Clay never stops running, and all you are doing is spending an entire game just chasing him around, banging into screens. Again, not saying Steph is easy.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, I don't. It's an interesting question to run by, an NBA level defender. Like, which one of these guys is more tiring? Because I could see, the amount of time that you spend on ball. The one thing you almost never have to do when you're guarding Clay is sort of body up and play one-on-one or something like that, or like you go into a lot of, and so you do a lot of that with Steph. But it's, I mean, neither is easy. Both require a lot of energy.
No, none of them is the Jermichael Green assignment.
Right. And that's a big thing. It's like, so, I mean, it was just, we talked at the, and I know the everydayers probably heard this, and it's really worth consistently hammering home. One of the things that makes this series so interesting is on each side of the floor, you have certain players that are really important for one thing or another, but have major issues, generally on offense, but it may be on the other side that it makes it hard for you to play, whatever it might be. But, Draymond is incredibly important to their offense in terms of how they operate and, as a fulcrum in the center of the floor and all that. But he is a person that can be ignored for a lot of what he does. Jared Vanderbilt, the Warriors practically run off the floor when he's got one of those wide open corner threes. And if he hits three or four of them or whatever it might be, the Warriors be like, what are you going to do? But they're letting him have it. And the Lakers, interestingly enough, are treating Green, Jermichael Green, kind of like Vanderbilt, where, part of, I think, what Golden State was hoping was that by putting Green on the floor is a much more, all things relative, is a more dangerous offensive player as a floor spacer than Kevon Looney is. But the Lakers aren't taking the bait. They're like, if Green has three or four threes, so be it. But we're going to let Anthony Davis man that back line. We're going to let him play aggressively at the top of the floor. And you can only do that if he's not marking Draymond. He's got to have the freedom to play off someone else, because you can't ignore Draymond in the same way, because he's too valuable a passer, too valuable a player in the pick and roll.
Yeah, and Vanderbilt is capable of junking up some of what Draymond does.
Sure.
And there's no perfect way to defend a team that can be this explosive offensively when you've got somebody like Steph who bends defenses and I think sometimes just deflates defenses in ways I've never seen another player do. I mean, even guys like Jordan, prime Kobe, guys like Iverson, who sometimes would do things that seemed impossible, whatever. Like, there's something about, I think, Steph hitting like his fourth 35 footer where you're just like, what's the point of this? Like, as a defender, you're like, what is the point of me being out here defending him if he's going to be able to do that?
Well, but it's interesting. Like, you go back and you look to a lot, this is one of the things that, while Twitter in some ways has become a festering cesspool, more than it used to be.
What were the salad days, Brian?
One of the great things about NBA Twitter, at the very least, is you go back in the days after games, there's all kinds of people cutting up little clips and showing you defensive plays and this and that. And you go back and if you watch some of the game two footage when Clay went nuclear, like, that wasn't all bad defense. Like,
no.
Sometimes Clay just hits shots, and like, that's the thing. And in that same spirit, like, the Lakers, I thought, did a good job on Steph and Clay overall. And the biggest difference with Curry in game three is the Lakers limited him as a passer. He went down from 12 assists to three, but Clay was 5 of 14 from the floor, 3 of 9 from three. Was that all Lakers defense? No. Sometimes he's going to hit those shots, sometimes not. And so you do the best that you can. But overall, the Lakers schematically, I thought, in game three, did some things that made a lot of sense and maximized their ability to be as effective as possible, defensively against Golden State.
Yeah, and even just when they switched up Austin's assignment on Steph, they ended up switching up everything. Like, D'Angelo Russell ended up marking Klay Thompson. LeBron ended up starting on Wiggins. And I think they just made an effort to make sure, especially coming on the heels of that 27-point blowout loss, that they were not going to let Golden State continue any rhythm that they had. They're just going to change up a lot that they saw in this game. And Steve Kerr is going to make adjustments. Darvin Ham and the staff is going to have to adjust, do the adjustments. But again, as we talked about at the top of this show, and you and I have both raised concerns at times about Darvin's ability to adjust both with the overall game plan and in real time. We're going to get into more of this, but this was a game where Darvin really coached, I thought, a terrific game.
Well, they came, they came in with a really good game plan.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously executed it. Like, I don't, I can't tell you if the game two game plan was good or bad or somewhere in between. I can tell you their execution made whatever they were planning on doing look worse than it probably was supposed to. And, you know, that's fine. I mean, I've told this story before, but, you know, I've asked, right, you know, lots of playoff coaches, because I just find this aspect of it fascinating. You know, what is, you know, the playoff adjustment? I've asked Phil this, I've asked, you know, Pop this and whatever. Like, how much of the adjustment is change something, like really change it? And how much of it is do what we want to do, except just do it better? And there is a very fine line between those two things. The other really noticeable change that Darvin made was swapping out the minutes that had been going to Troy Brown and giving them to Lonnie Walker. And that was a consequential move, which we will talk about next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Prize Picks. And Laker fans, if you have not signed up for Prize Picks, you're missing out on Daily Fantasy Made Easy and the $1 million Daily Superflex promotion. Every day of the NBA playoffs and the finals, one Prize Picks user will win a chance at becoming a millionaire. One entry placed after 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time will be randomly selected every day. Whoever placed that entry will be given a six-pick flex with the following payouts: 6 correct picks, $1 million; 5 correct picks, $80,000; 4 correct picks, $16,000. Full details can be found at prizepicks.com/million. You must opt in at this link to be eligible for the $1 million entry. And once you opt in, just play the game you normally would, and you could be a lucky winner. PrizePicks has the best NBA DFS prop game on the market, more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator. Just pick 2 to 6 players, superstars, role players, whatever, and predict whether they will notch more or less than their PrizePicks stats projections. And you can win up to 25 times your money with projections on every sport from MLB to cricket. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. Safe, fast withdrawals. Download the PrizePicks app or go to prizepicks.com, sign up, play daily fantasy sports, and first-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. Again, that promo code Locked On at the sign-up for the instant match. If you're not playing Prize Picks, you don't know what you're missing.
So, yeah, I think everybody understands the significance of Game 4, you know, for both teams. I would expect the Lakers, Andy, if game two was not treated like a scheduled loss, I don't think the Lakers were trying to punt that game in the slightest. I think if they had an opening, if Golden State gave them one into the second half, I think the Lakers would have tried to go through it. To their credit, the Warriors didn't really do that. I do not expect that kind of approach to game four. You cannot do that on your home floor and force yourself into a position where you got to win twice in San Francisco. So the Warriors will obviously come out with a tremendous amount of energy, but the Lakers, I suspect, will do whatever they can to try to match it. Like, there will be no looking forward to what, you know, might be coming. And we'll look forward to game five. I don't see that at all.
Yeah, absolutely. A reminder that the Lakers are going to be playing the Warriors tonight, 7 p.m. Pacific. And the Lakers, like we said, had the opportunity to go up 3-1, control the series, catch every bucket of the Lakers' hometown broadcast with SiriusXM on the SXM app. Search Lakers to find the broadcast. They got to take every shot possible. They've got to try to get up 3-1. I mean, if it's, you know, another game where the Lakers are down like 35 to start the fourth quarter, then maybe you adjust accordingly. But I'll tell you this, if they're down 18 to start the fourth, you're going to see a normal game plan.
I think they'll keep playing. Yeah.
And I think that one part of the normal game plan, Brian, moving forward, is going to be Lonnie Walker.
Yeah, I agree.
He had 12 points in this game, hit 2 of his 4 threes, had 2 steals. Play, it was interesting. I was looking at his overall minutes, and he played some fourth quarter time that I don't know how much of this would be considered garbage time, how much wouldn't, and I don't really want to debate it. He played 18 minutes through the first and third quarters, though.
Mm-hmm.
And that is more time than Troy Brown played in any game in the playoffs other than game four against Memphis. So to me, that is a sign that, A, Darvin really liked what he saw from Lonnie Walker in this game, but also, too, that he is looking for a ninth man, like a true ninth man out there. And I think specifically a ninth man that is a guard, because there is so much that is taxing about covering the backcourts with Golden State.
You can't. Like playing, people talk about the playoffs, you shorten the rotation. Maybe you can do that up front. What you can't do it is in the backcourt, because, you know, it's
not against this team.
Not against this. You know, even with like a guy like Poole, you know, who has not played well, still a lot of work. It's a lot of effort to chase these dudes around. And you're going to need another player. And, you know, I talked in the last segment about the battle to try to exploit as much as possible the non-factor offensive players on the other team. Now, that's something not necessarily that you don't necessarily do with Troy Brown as much, in the sense that, you know, I think gets a little bit more respect, you know, if he's going to be shooting, like somebody will probably close on him. Whereas Vanderbilt, it's like, no, please shoot. You're still not going, you're still not respecting what Troy Brown is going to do. And if he's not hitting threes at a high volume, then you look at the defensive side. And if the defensive side isn't, you know, kind of stellar, if it's not what Vanderbilt was doing
in game one, it hasn't been.
It hasn't been bad, but it hasn't been consequential. And so if he's not providing something on offense and he's not necessarily giving you anything extra on defense, then you look to make that switch. And I think, you know, obviously, you know, Malik Beasley, that's not, he has just sort of played himself out of the rotation, at least for now. Maybe next round we'll see what happens. But I wouldn't expect him, you know, we were talking about this before the show started. I would not expect to see Malik Beasley play meaningful minutes in this series unless somebody else gets hurt. But what you need is 8 to 12 points, 6 to 12 points, whatever that. Now, you need somebody to give you something more than 2, something more than 4. Because, and we'll talk about this with Austin Reeves, like this is clearly a series where if you're going to ask Reeves to take on difficult defensive assignments, which they are, and you're going to ask him to still kind of try to play a connector role that he does on offense, handling the ball in the pick and roll, moving the ball, like, which he will, then it's hard to expect him to score. And so if Reeves isn't going to give you 16, 15, and he's going to give you 7 or 8 or whatever, you need to find those points somewhere else, because you don't want to make LeBron and AD have to make up all of it.
Well, and also,
I just think, like, Lonnie Walker, when you start to contextualize all these things, it makes a lot of sense, because he is a positive offensive player that can score in multiple ways. And then you, if he's not hurting you defensively, you can keep him on the floor for a while.
Yeah, especially too when you were talking about the need for those additional points. It's not just that Austin is just clearly, he's grown exhausted during, I think you could maybe see the beginning of this towards the end of the series with Memphis, but especially now. And, you know, it's funny. I've thrown this out on Twitter at Cam Brothers, like just the observation that he's clearly tired. Huh? And it's been met with a lot of like, the hell are you talking about? Like, he's young. Like, he's supposed to be one of the young players out there, young legs, fresh, whatever. And yes, in theory, that's true, except Austin has never played this many minutes in his career. He played about 450 or so more regular season minutes this year than his rookie year. And those minutes really started increasing in the second half of the season.
And they were consequential minutes. Like, right. The Lakers have been playing playoff basketball, and Austin Reeves has been at the center of that for 7 weeks. You know,
and his responsibilities also increased during this time, where his minutes increased. And then on top of it, he's never been in the playoffs before.
And one more thing, Andy, you know, when you talk about not all minutes being created equal, like Austin Reaves is playing more minutes with more responsibility. And if you may have noticed, like the Austin Reaves style is not one where he's just sort of floating around and like it's easy peasy breezy Duncan Robinson style minutes. He gets his ass kicked every game. He's right in there drawing fouls. It's incredibly physical, not necessarily how he's always playing against other people, but the amount of physical abuse he takes, and that takes you, that takes things out of you over the course of time.
Right. And look, I want to make it clear, I'm not saying any of this as an excuse for Reaves. Like he needs to find a way to push through this better on both sides of the ball, because they need him on both sides of the ball. Like
I think he's played fine defensively, but that's, you know, either way.
I think at times he's been very good defensively. At times, I think he's frankly looked really tired. And this is a, for me at least, a matter of fact explanation. It is not a way of trying to, you know, excuse it at all. But
I also don't have any other alternatives. So it's not like you can say, like, play that guy instead.
Right. But what you need to do, because this is really important, Reaves is not providing that offense right now. And on top of it, this is not a matchup that is really good for extended minutes for Rui. Like, I think Rui has been fine in this series, but we saw this during game three. Like, they are looking in a lot of ways to pick on him with switches and get him so he's matched up against one of these running guards.
It's that right. He's keep up really with. Struggling to go get over all those screens. Like, right. He just can't do it. He cannot do it.
Memphis defensively was a much better matchup for Rui because they go a lot more physical. They're bigger. And we've discovered, like, it's a very happy surprise seeing Rui game in, game out. If you put him in the right defensive matchup, he's actually pretty good. Like, he's not been nearly the liability that his reputation has been in Washington before he ended up getting traded here. So then that just underscores even more need for Lonnie and his scoring. And look, we'll see how he holds up defensively. Like, I imagine that has been the hindrance for Darvin to pull the trigger on trying this. Like, I remember during the Memphis series when we were talking about what they weren't getting from Troy and Malik. And, you know, obviously I kept saying over and over, just put Wenyan on the floor during those periods. Like, Wenyan is the obvious guy. But I had also mentioned that I was wondering whether Darvin would actually go to Lonnie at some point, because they need just scoring. They're not getting it from either Beasley or Brown. And in the case of Beasley, his defense is going to play him off the court anyway. I'm going to be interested to see in game four whether the Warriors look to pick on Lonnie more. Like, I was surprised that they didn't look to do it a lot in game three. I maybe they were just surprised to see him out there, but when he was out there, I expected them to test Lonnie more.
Yeah.
And they didn't. I would look for that to happen more in game four. But what we did see, though, early in the season was, and this tapered off, but Lonnie began the year fine defensively. Not great, but not hurting them either. And if he can just play at that level in what is a challenging assignment, he's really valuable for this series.
Let's finish this after the break, because I think there are some things that the coaching staff did in game three and continue to do going forward that can hopefully mitigate some of that. And we'll look ahead to see what the Lakers might do. Even more tweaks, or if you just kind of run it back, we'll do all that next. Okay, so, I mean, I think, you know, some of this is predicated on when you play him and against which lineups and who you're playing him with and all that. Because it's like, you know, I saw a lot of, like, the same stuff you did on the comments board. Like, put Wenyan in instead of, you know, a third guard or another wing or whatever it be. And I think what people want to see is LeBron, Wenyan, and Rui all together. And maybe Golden State would oblige with the lineup there, but that is a challenge. That is going to be difficult, I think, to execute that. If Golden State is not sort of obliging with, like, Looney on the floor or something like that, yeah, it's going to be hard for Wenyan and Rui. And I think you're setting up easy, you know, pickings defensively for Golden State. And with Gabriel, you're not challenging them in any meaningful way defensively, other than what Gabriel does my opinion, in terms of next to the basket, good, cleanup guy,
You mean offensively, not defensively.
I meant for that, for Golden State, like on the defensive glass, you have to keep an eye. You have to keep an eye on Gabriel in the same way that, he's in a lot of ways, he kind of is loony light in terms of active, can't lose track of him, offensive rebounds, putbacks, hustle plays and things like that. But in terms of spacing out a defense, putting the ball on the floor, penetrating, I just don't, that is not a lineup that makes sense. Walker makes much more sense to me than Gabriel. And look, defensively, in two of the games at least, two of the three games when the Lakers have been at their most engaged, they've done really well. And, I guess people are looking for how do you do better and survive the minutes that Anthony Davis isn't playing? I'm not sure there's a really good answer to that question. One way is to try to figure out how to score some more points. And I think ultimately that's what they're choosing to do. I don't see it's hard for me to picture ways to play both Wenyan and Rui at the same time.
Yeah. Defensively, I think you could find ways to make it work because Wenyan is pretty switchable for his size, but I think you're correct. Offensively is they're going to have the
switchable in on ball pick and roll and stuff like that, but chasing guys around the floor in the same way. I think it's not something I'd be particularly comfortable with.
I'm not saying I would look to do it. I'm saying I think he's reasonably good at it. But I agree with you offensively. It would create such pressure on their defense to be pretty close to airtight because, it depends, I guess, who else is on the floor with them in the backcourt. And if you have LeBron out there, there's obviously things that can be orchestrated. But we've just... I think that they would look to try to set up a lot of switches where
it puts one of those guys in some really uncomfortable places.
Yeah, exactly.
With Walker, this is one, you look at things that need to happen tonight for the Lakers to win. It's they got everything in the formula on Saturday. They got excellent 3-point shooting. They actually hit more 3-pointers than Golden State did, which is. I am willing to bet that any game where that happens for the rest of this series, it means the Lakers win. That is not a winning formula for the Warriors. They re-tilted that free throw thing, which should have a disparity. You're looking at the team that was the best in the league against at getting to the line against the team that was basically worst at getting to the line. Playing against the team that was best at keeping teams off the line. So,
Golden State is one of the worst at keeping opponents off the line on top of it. Inverse of each other when it comes to the free throw line, both sides of the free throw line.
Right. So, all of you Warriors fans who are, by the way, thank you for watching the show and participating in the chat.
Yeah.
And coming on our YouTube.
You guys comment are more than section, welcome.
All that stuff. We love to see you. And we love you, but in the words of
Logan Roy,
you're not serious people. if you think that this is somehow some sort of conspiracy, that literally everything about both teams' regular season profiles says that this is what should happen. The question for Golden State is how much can we shrink this? In the same way for the Lakers, it's okay. We're probably going to get out threed. Can it be by 5 threes instead of 12? And if we can do that, then I think, we being the Lakers think that they've got a good chance to win games. And, you made the point, game 4, because there's been so much complaining about this free throw disparity, it's going to be real interesting to see what the Lakers can do to make sure the referees don't have an opportunity to swallow whistles.
Well, what one thing the Lakers need to do is right off the bat, they need to be attacking Golden State. They need to be trying to set a tone for not just how they're going to play, because as we just said, they've been the best team in the league at getting to the line, and that is often the way they offset, a half-court offense and outside shooting that, to put it generously, can come and go. But this is also going to be something that they try to put the pressure on the referees in LA and create hostility from the crowd if they're not getting what they want. They need to be looking to do this as a strategy, but also too, and this gets to, I think, one of the continual overarching questions of this team, Anthony Davis, can AD do this two games in a row? And one of the markers for AD, if you want to look at not just his point total, and look, the point total matters. Like the counting stats point total matters. Mm-hmm. If you look at his splits in the playoffs, he's averaging almost 23 points per game in wins and a little over 18 in losses. So there's obviously a discrepancy. His field goal percentage is about 5.5 points higher in wins versus losses. But beyond that, if you want to often look for a marker on how you can gauge, just does it feel like AD put his stamp on a game, his mark, his aggression, you often see it in rebounds and free throws attempted. Free throws in particular. In wins during the playoffs this year, he averages 7 free throw attempts. In losses, just under 3. In wins, 27% of AD's points come off free throws. In losses, just under 13%. There's also a discrepancy,
You're not going to generate very many of them when you're only getting there 3 times.
Right. And as far as the rebounds goes, there is a decent-sized discrepancy in wins versus losses. He's averaging 15 in wins, a little under 12 in losses. And look, 12's still a good number, but it's a sizable gap, and it's about 3.5 fewer defensive rebounds and losses. Mm-hmm. And that is related too, because those defensive rebounds allow the Lakers to get out on the break, which doesn't just benefit the whole team. It specifically benefits Anthony Davis, because the best way for him to score against a defense that is loading up on him is to make it so they can't set at all.
Yeah. And, you know, that gets to some of the defensive tweaks and all that, the ability to be aggressive on the defensive side of the ball. So, look, Golden State's can probably make some more shots. Got to make it hard for them. And, you know, there wasn't that big flurry that you usually see from Golden State where they seem like they're going to overwhelm you. We didn't get that in game 3, but it's probably coming in game 4. There's not much you can do about it. But I will say this, and we'll leave here. One of the things that I think has been kind of lost in the, or maybe it's just lost to me, I haven't talked about it enough, in the big comeback for the Lakers and the big turnaround, and then they beat Memphis in the first round, and now they're up 2-1. When Anthony Davis and LeBron James are healthy, this team has been excellent in the playoffs. And so if they go out and win game 4, series isn't over. You still got to win one. And I actually think they're going to have to win. I feel like they're going to have to win or will win one more on their floor. But you're getting to a place where you're like, okay, like these guys, just when these two players are in the playoffs and playing healthy and together with a reasonable supporting cast, it's back to being that two-man combination that is as good as any in the NBA, that it can beat anybody in the NBA, and should be seen as perhaps a favorite against anybody in the NBA, because, you know, they keep winning. The bubble playoffs, the Lakers kind of dominated throughout by playoff standards in the amount of games that they had to play to get to a title.
Yeah. I mean, like, another reminder, the Lakers playing the Warriors tonight, 7 p.m., try to go up 3-1, control the series. You can get every bucket of the Lakers hometown broadcast, Sirius XM on the XXM app. Search Lakers. Here's the really scary thing about it, Brian. Lakers with LeBron, AD right now, those two guys aren't even fully healthy. They're both dealing with stuff right now that very well could lead to offseason surgery. They're
could
both
be.
Playing.
But healthy enough. I just mean
oh, no, but I'm just saying this is how good they can be. They're both playing through stuff and able to control series right now. You know, I mean, they were pretty healthy in the bubble because they had 3 months off.
Right, everybody time off. But at least everybody else is sort of in the same boat. But yeah, it is a potent combination that is winning a lot of basketball games. And if they can win game 4, you give yourself a pretty good chance of getting out of this series in 5, 6, 7 games, whatever it might be. You really do have to start looking at what this combination, it changes a lot and makes everybody feel real good about where things are going. Anyway, Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go to hang out, see the show. Please, Warrior fans, please keep coming back. But I'm just going to gonna argue with you about this whole free throw thing until the end of time. But we'd love to see you, even if you're wrong. All right, so we will obviously be back after Monday's game, and we'll see everybody then.